When the members of the Alaska legislature return to Juneau in January, they'll be presented with a piece of legislation that would allow village public safety officers in Alaska to carry firearms. The issue was addressed at length Thursday during an informational meeting sponsored by District 36 State Representative Bryce Edgman from Dillingham. Late in this year's session of the legislature, Edgman introduced House Bill 199 to allow VPSOs to be armed. Edgman spoke to the bill early in Thursday's meeting.
My intent is that our legislation would make it possible for VPSOs to be armed in communities that agree to having an armed VPSO. That the intent is not to mandate that this would occur, but would only make the opportunity available to those communities who would wish to participate.
House Bill 199 and the companion legislation in the Alaska Senate were introduced shortly after the tragic shooting death of unarmed VPSO Thomas Madol in Manicotick back in March. It was the second time in the history of the program that a VPSO officer was killed in the line of duty. The VPSOs that operate in villages across the state are not actually state employees, despite the fact that they often work closely with the Alaska State Troopers. Instead, the VPSOs are most often employed by Native organizations like the Bristol Bay Native Association, which operates the VPSO program in the Bristol Bay region. Currently, BB&A employs 14 VPSOs in the region. Ralph Anderson is the president and CEO of BB&A, and he participated in Thursday's meeting. Anderson confirmed that the BB&A Board of Directors has twice approved resolutions calling for allowing VPSO officers to be armed, and he noted that all of the current VPSO officers in the region support the change in policy.
The view expressed by our board members is that it is unreasonable to expect peace officers to be unarmed in communities where virtually every household has firearms, and the VPSOs themselves are likely to own weapons for hunting. We also believe that the social environment of rural Alaska has changed dramatically in the past 30 years, that increased use of alcohol and dangerous drugs, such as methamphetamines and heroin, makes the VPSO's job even more hazardous.
Anderson stressed that before an officer could carry a gun, the officer should go through the appropriate training. He also called for the actual decision to be made locally about whether or not an officer should be allowed to carry a gun. The most moving testimony Thursday came from the widow of Thomas Madol, who was killed in the line of duty back in March in Manicotick. Madol was hired to be the VPSO officer in Manicotick in August of 2011, and Luann Madol says he was excited about the opportunity. However, she admitted that her husband was slightly hesitant about joining the program because of the prohibition in carrying firearms.
His desire to serve the village overshadowed his apprehension of being unarmed. He went with one thing in mind. He would give his all to make Manicotick a safer place by serving and protecting them, by sharing his faith and being the best employee possible.
On March 19th, Thomas Madol was shot and killed in Manicotick while investigating a report of a domestic dispute. Madol was apparently killed by 42-year-old Leroy Dick Jr., who is charged with first-degree murder. Dick spoke about the killing the day after the shooting while in custody in Dillingham.
Well, it came out of frustration, you know, and I shouldn't have done that. I know it's wrong. So I made a big mistake out of it.
Why did that happen?
Well, you know, I didn't want to be bothered, and, you know, I got in argument with my mom and my brother and his dad, and I was kind of feeling unhappy. So, you know, I tried to calm myself, and I end up, you know, doing something wrong to the VPSO. Guess I caused it to happen, you know. He just wanted to talk to me, and I told him not to bother me, and, you know, guess I went out angry and did what I did, you know.
Leroy Dick Jr. is still in custody and has entered a not guilty plea to the first-degree murder charge. A pretrial conference for the case is scheduled for mid-December in Anchorage. During her testimony Thursday, Luann Madol wouldn't speculate about whether or not her husband would still be alive if he was armed.
But there is one thing that I do know, and it is a true fact, that every person in Manicotick knew that VPSO Madol, my husband, my children's father, and my grandchildren's grandpa was not armed with a firearm. This was an advantage to every person in Manicotick, and a real disadvantage to Tom. Every time he went out on a call, he always wondered if it would be his last. He went to serve and protect a village that had no means of adequate protection for himself. I strongly stand behind the bill to arm VPSOs.
The Village Public Safety Program in Alaska was started in the late 1970s, and funding for the program comes from the state of Alaska. However, the funds are distributed by the 9 regional Native nonprofit organizations and municipalities that sponsor the VPSOs in their villages. Representative Edgman's House Bill 199 to allow VPSOs to be armed has 15 co-sponsors in the House, including District 37 State Representative Bob Heron from Bethel.
Within the region that I represent, there's some that want it and some that don't. But again, I think that this is an opportunity, and I appreciate you doing this, is to hear from many of the stakeholders out there as possible what is the best thing in moving forward with this proposed legislation.
Thursday's meeting was labeled as a work session, and no official actions were taken. Representative Edgman says he intends to make passage of House Bill 199 a priority when the Alaska legislature goes back into session on January 21st of next year. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.